Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Message to the Black Diaspora, a podcast series that features two groups, the Level Set and Community Education Network. Here representing the Level Set is Mike Jones, political columnist, and attorney Larry Fields. Both of them represent the Level Set. And for the Community Education Network, you have Dr. Sharita and you have myself, Rasaki Maskani. And on the panel today, we have Brother Khalik, Atiba Shelton and Bria, and Nanette Atune, and Kimmy O. And today, our guest is Dr. Iris Latham. Dr. Iris is a Samiji, a food, a linguist, educator, and innovator of sun-fired culinary arts and science. And he is known as the father of gourmet ethical raw food. So before he speaks, I just want to tell everybody how we're going to present this today. We're going to get questions from our team, and then I'm going to go to the panelists. And I just want to thank Dr. Iris for attending today and sharing his wealth of excellent knowledge. So, Dr. Iris, I would like to know some things about you before we get started with the questions. So, can you please tell us some things you want us to know about yourself? Thanks for being here.
Okay. Well, it's been since 1947, the year of my birth, that I've been journeying literally around the world in continuation with my ancestral journey. So we, somewhere in the heart of the belly of the Congo, originated in Ethiopia, centuries and centuries gone by. And yes, we've come through the whole of Ethiopia, Kemet, the Dogon, Mali. We ended up in Spain, where we spearheaded our rulership of Europe, on and on. Myself personally, my birthplace is not too far from here. I'm at a peak. I'm at the highest peak, probably in Central America. I'm right, in sight of the volcano here, so I'm in a volcanic environment, ancient burial ground where, there's unearthed artifacts of African imagery over 10,000 years ago, alongside African features, Chinese looking individuals as well. So, we have been around. So I haven't been born in the Gatun Lake, a man-made lake, because my grandfather came here to build another African monument to the world. They call it the Panama Canal. And being born here, second generation migrant workers, I still haven't made peace with Panama, but I took their passport. So I've been back here since COVID. Because I was at the time I was in the Cayman Island, and they wanted to vaccinate me along with everybody else, so I had to do a jailbreak. I was an artist in resident at a resort. So anyway, I got an evacuation flight to Panama because I port their passport, so it's the only place I could come to. So I've made some amount of peace with it now, but still, I'm one Africa. And I look forward to, February 1st when we all seam up coming back home together. So this is me, in a capsule, a little nutshell, and I'm here. I'm ready to light some fire. As Capo Sun said, burn fire. No, well, him said, fire burn everything. But I'm gonna burn fire myself. So it's about time we've been burning everything else. So let's burn fire. Because the true flame is the sun, Ra. And this is where we are in the presence of Ra, continuous present, future, past. Here we are. Welcome home, family. Welcome to my journey.
Excellent, excellent. I appreciate that. Excellent. So I want to go to Dr. Sherita. Dr. Sherita is the reason why Dr. Reese is here, and I really appreciate her and her work. Dr. Sherita, can you unmute, please?
Greetings, peace and love, everybody.
Greetings.
Giving okay,
Greetings,
so
greetings,
thanks and
Dr. Sherita.
praises to the Most High, Mother, Father, God, and our ancestors that are always with us.
Excellent, excellent. Can you ask Dr. Reese a few questions, or do you
Yeah,
have one
it looks
for
like there's a long delay in my connection. I'm trying to get a better connection here, but let's see what we got. Yeah, I've been knowing. Can you guys hear me?
her?
I
Yes.
hear you very well.
Okay, it's a long delay. So yeah, I've been knowing Dr. Reese for a long, long, long time, since a teenager. My father, the late great Dr. Paul Goss, was a longtime colleague of his, and we've always found ourselves in a lot of differing settings, celebrating wellness, especially Black wellness. And yeah, and Doc, he's been on the journey, strict, showing us how to do it, showing us how to be disciplined. And helping us get rid of a lot of our addictions and eating food on the highest vibration, which is live food, as you say, food cooked by the sun. So yeah, and his many, many testimonies of people who have gone raw, reversing disease, preventing disease, becoming very strong and energetic. Doc is still climbing coconut trees. At what is it, 78? Still climbing coconut trees, jogging every day. So he walk the talk, he walks the walk. So we give thanks and praises for you being on our network today.
You're welcome. Thank you for this great opportunity to share with our family.
Yes.
Dr. Sri, do you have any questions?
We brought him on as a message to the diaspora, and it's in time because Doc is about to make his move to Ghana. I think I can say that, right, Doc? He's about
Oh,
to make his move.
you got it
And
right. Yeah.
yeah, and so I think it's the perfect time for him to send a message to the Black diaspora worldwide. Wellness is going to be one of our number one priorities, focus. And we just need to hear. I think our problem these days is dealing with addiction. And so if there's some kind of way you can help us deal with that, I know you had your journey and you had your different challenges, and maybe you can help us understand how you got past your addictions.
Okay. Well, I would love to. I would love to. I noticed that up on your logo, big 1976 New Body Products, the company founded by your father, Dr. Goss, 1976. I founded Sun Fire Foods in Harlem, New York in 1979. And this was right after returning from the Kilimanjaro, where I was living in Tanzania. there with the cooperative Ujamaa, cooperative economics with under Julius Nyerere, connected with his wife, where we were compounded herbal formulas. But my first journey to Africa, 1972, my first journey home, of course, it was through the gateway, Ghana. I went as an African dancer to dance with the National Dance Theater of Ghana, Benin, which at the time was Dahomey, Togo, and Nigeria. We got to Nigeria probably like a day after the Biafra War. But in these countries, we stayed at the university campuses. We stayed in Legon at the university there. I was part of the City University of New York. 300 of us went through the Black Studies Department, a great program. And we're talking, we were disciples of Quincy Troupe, look him up, Haki Madhubuti. These were our mentors coming to the university and sharing with us. Haki Madhubuti, his book, he was the owner, the publisher of Black Books Press out of Chicago. And my brother wrote a book called From Plan to Planet. And you can see it today. The pirates are still selling it. So in that book, he outlined, I believe, five different principles that we need to deal with back then. And we're talking, 1971-ish, 1970, when I studied that book. And the main pillar that he said that we needed to address back then was our food. And we need to first check all of the white food, all these mutated foods, like the ones who created them, mutants. White sugar, white flour, white starch, white salt, he just ticked them off. And today we still got the same monsters in our house, in our kitchen, drugs. Yeah, this is that to Sharita said, I had my challenges. Yeah, I had my challenges. Yeah, with the sugar, with the salt, with the white flour, all of these white mutated foods and others. So there's so much to share. So I'm weaving in and out, but in 1972, when we went to Ghana, I had the great honor of going to attending Osagyefo Kwame Nkrumah's funeral. They invited all of us. He passed away while we were there. And, the big opening of the Akasombo Dam and all the big excitement, we were part of all of that back then. But the main thing, we were working our feet, dancing, coming home and doing it on a level where, there was no time for pain. Going into Nigeria and seeing what was happening there. And I've been to Africa in six occasions, thanks to Dr. Sharita. I've been one of the mainstays with the African Culture and Wellness Festival that she holds there in Ghana. And now, yes, I was just in Ghana a couple of weeks ago, and now I have a triangle between Panama, Ghana, and Jamaica. So you've heard of the Devil's Triangle, but Panama, Ghana, and Jamaica is the angel's triangle for us because we've been doing it. We've been doing it three ways. So this is where I'm hubbing these days. I've hubbed around the world. Yes, I was in Harlem for the big, wellness era in Harlem. I remember in 1980, me and my brothers and sisters in the we were part of the ON, African Holistic Network. And back then, of course, we spelled holistic with the W because we were talking about whole life, whole people, whole food. And somehow or the other, the W disappeared, and now you got health with a hole in it, a donut rather than a whole health. So there's so much stuff that we've been hit with today. I don't even have to. All I have to say is one thing. I'm not slutty. So all of this kind of slut and beyond, and look, we came before meat. So let's be, keep it moving. And on that note, yeah, what is our plate? So, again, I'm just dropping gems, dropping bits, going all over. I'm a linguist, I studied with Professor Sweet Ernie, Dr. Ernie Smith, yeah, Nation of Islam out of Compton, California. And, this is a brother who pioneered the Ebonics, ascertaining that we.
Compton in the house.
Compton, I mean, this brother was all over the place, Pomona. But anyway, he was my master professor at Cal State University, and it was all about Ebonics. And with me, with my language background, I worked on a master's in linguistics, and he was my mentor. So with between him and Dick Gregory, my food mentor, who, this is where I give thanks and praise to have been schooled, to have been mentored by elders. And now this is where I'm at, in that position to keep the baton moving. So moving with sun-fired food, that cuisine, that word that I coined, sun-fired, Sunfired, which means foods that are cooked by the sun, in acknowledging and giving thanks that Ra, the sun, is the god of food. God cooks our food every day. The sun cooks our food every day. And you hear the compliment of the sun hitting on my tin roof right now. This is the rain. So I'm up in the rainforest, up in the mountain, and between the sun and the rain, my food gets done to perfection. So, is my audio still good?
Yes.
I'm going to put in my microphone so I can make sure that the rain is not drowning me out. So let me know, is my audio good?
It's fine right now, and
You better.
we'll inform you.
Okay, so I hear you now. Yeah, I wasn't hearing you before because the rain was drowning out the atmosphere. Well, talking about the rain, we as human beings and as African beings, we are a micro of the macro. So we are a reflection, of course, of God, the sun, Ra, but also we are a reflection of Mother Earth. And I'm at a farm that we call Mother Earth right here in Panama. And Mother Earth, as we know it comprises of 70% moisture, 70% water, the ocean, our passageway, the middle passage, the first passage, today's passage, and the forever passage, the ocean, 70% water, the rivers, the lakes, the streams, everywhere. So we are 70% moisture. We are 70% moisture. So let me. Yeah. Okay.
Dr. Iris, sound
Yeah.
check.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
It's just that I didn't get to mute my incoming calls. So someone was trying to call me. So let me get back here. Let me get back to my Zoom.
So Dr.
Yeah.
Iris, I want to say a few things, and then we want
Yeah,
to go to
please.
Mike Jones after I
Yeah.
say this. So what you just did is you did two level sets. One of them is sun-fired food, that's level set. And the other thing was the Angel's Triangle, Panama, Jamaica, and Ghana. That's a level set. Okay. So we're gonna go to Mike Jones, Brother Mike Jones.
And good afternoon, good morning, good evening, to wherever we all are right now. So, brother, what is your question for me, or what?
Oh, you have a question for Dr. Iris?
Yeah, I was interested in the context, and one of the things that, given what my work has been, I'm always interested not just in the individual, but how do you replicate something, how do you scale it, and then how do you sustain it? Because the issue is not whether one of us can do an arduous journey and succeed. The question is, how do we all get there? So that would kind of be my context for all of this conversation. And I want to mention that you have a strong St. Louis connection. I know Quincy Troup. I knew Dick Gregory, both from St. Louis. I'm very much an elder now. I'm 2 years behind you, but they were ahead of me. But I got a chance to make both of those brothers' acquaintances, and you are right. Brother Gregory has occupied the space that you and he shared for a long time, and Quincy is a most remarkable writer, poet, insightful brother, and was a hell of a basketball player. So my question would be, I like for Dr. Iris to speak to, given your diagnosis, how do we replicate, scale, and then sustain the solutions that you're talking about, so that more people, more of us, can benefit from the journey that you've made?
Thank you, brother. Excellent question. Well, I must say, number one, for me now, it's 55 years that I've not consumed any animals. Forget the labels, the vegetarian, the vegan, or whatever it is, but we speak in home language. I have not eaten any animals in 55 years. I've not consumed any cooked food as we know it. Because I operate in a stoveless kitchen. I've not eaten any cooked food in 49 years, and on and on. I've not drank any water, as we know, standard water, blank, empty H2O, H2O, in over 46 years now. So to say that, I'm saying that when I started eating all raw foods in 1976, in that first year, I did not meet more than five people that I could physically touch in New York, where I started on that journey, and Dick Gregory being one of those. That now today, with my me being an educator before anything else, I have trained thousands of raw food chefs around the world, not just in our community, but around the world. And even right now on Instagram, I have over 1 million followers. But also, because of my command of the Spanish language, just as equally as I command the English language. We talk in Brazil, even though they speak Portuguese, those two languages are mutually intelligible. Argentina, Peru, Uruguay, Mexico, all over, not just, the English-speaking African diaspora, but the Spanish-speaking Romance, diaspora as well. And India. I've been to India twice. And one of my great grandparents, my great grandmother, was from India. My first trip to India in 2014 with the World Vegetarian Congress. The World Vegetarian Congress, I was a featured keynote presenter. And when I showed up at the university in Kerala, right there in Chennai, there was this huge banner unfurled across the university campus, the gate going in, with my image there. And on that banner, they called me the raw food miracle. And under that, a credential that I didn't even know exist. Under that, black vegetarian. Black vegetarian, I was acknowledged. And this, coming to find out once I got once I was received there at the university that day, is that vegetarianism was brought to India. Yes, from Africa by the Dravidians. And they were so happy that I came back home to bridge the gap of what's been lost over these centuries. That, yes, Indians are the vegetarian masters of the world, but they asked me to train 95 chefs for the South Indian Professional Culinary Association because their level of vegetarianism wasn't adequate for today's vegetarian marketplace. So this was the Radisson Blue Hotel asked me to train 95 chefs because people like Dr. Sharita going to these hotels today are asking for vegetarian foods that are not contaminated with milk and butter. Vegan food as it would be called today. So bringing them up to date, and then on my most recent trip in 2023, where I was acclaimed the Swamiji of food. The god of food is what a Swamiji is. And I was asked to bring my Sun-Fired show to India and to produce 10 million Sun-Fired eating devotees in India. Yes, 10 million. And the way to do it, as they suggested, was through the World Spiritual University. This is a university that was set up by the Indian person who was my host in India, where they're teaching now yoga and raw food, healing with yoga and raw food. And the World Spiritual University, they have a branch in every country in the world with not just restaurants, but also hospitals. And to institute a sun-fired menu in the hospital, same like with the relationship I have with Dr. Sharita, where a Seventh-day Adventist University in Ghana has requested of me to come in and change, well, set their menu up to date and bring sun-fired foods. So my answer to the folks in India, which was to set up for me to set up the Sun-Fired Academy, and is to franchise it. Sell franchises because we have to bring the education in the modern context of how this is best done as an educator. Franchise is perfect, but I told them, let's stick a pin there, let's pause. First, I'm going to do that in Africa. And that's where we are right now today, getting the old institute set up in Africa to scale it up. But so I have thousands of our brothers and sisters that have certified Sunfire over the past 47 years of running this educational business. So thanks for bringing that point because this is what we're all about. Not just each one teach one, but many ones teach the family. This is what we're all about.
Can
And
I ask you a
go ahead.
follow-up? One of the things that as you were explaining that, the diaspora is huge and it's literally kind of worldwide. Most it's all over the world. And what struck me about every place you've been, every place that you've had scale, that independent of where they are from a technologically development standpoint, there are places where I'm trying to find the exact right way where the people you are talking to or speaking with, working with, have agencies. They have sovereignty. And so the issue is, do they want to do it? How much of it can they do? How will they get it done? But they don't need anybody's permission. They have agency. The unique members of the diaspora are those of us in a place like the United States, or I would even say if there's any large populations in some of Europe, but I just stay focused on the United States. One of the struggles of, for me, one of my, at this point in life, my analysis that for 200 years, Black people in America were colonized. Post 1965, when you and I were coming of age as grown men, we didn't get liberated with civil rights. We just moved into a neo-colonial situation. So we still lack agency relative to control of markets and how we interact with the infrastructure of society. And have you any thoughts about how you do that in a place where we don't have sovereignty? Because that would be my takeaway from what you described is all the places are a little different, but they all have sovereignty. This is a place where we don't have sovereignty. So I don't know if it creates a unique challenge or not, but have you thought about that?
Yes, I have thought about that. And well, again, I point back out to the fact that some fired foods originated in Harlem, New York, 1979. Junkie on the corner, right at what we call the UCLA, the university at the corner of Lenox Avenue, the Tree of Life bookstore, Brother Kanya McGee. Yes, and I was across the street on Lenox Avenue where I purchased an establishment from a brother, Ray Roberts, where it was Savannah Herbs. And that establishment today is where Starbucks is today on Lenox Avenue and 125th Street. And setting it up there. So for us, revolutionaries of the 60s, blazing the torch of food. Food as a weapon. We were complimenting the Bana organization. I set up a building, I set up a brownstone in Harlem in 1980, where we opened up the House of Life. Let sovereignty be what it is. We don't need no excuse, we don't need no permission, we don't need even to invoke sovereignty to eat right. We eat every day, and we don't have a choice. And we better find our food. There was no food in Harlem when I got there. I was coming off of the Kilimanjaro Mountain, where I was a 2 years of eating all organic, 100% fruits. And I had to find it. I had to find it and bring it to Harlem, to our community. So yeah, I turned to the hippies in California, Sunburst Organic Farms. I dealt with organic conspiracy out of Florida, because even back then, getting organic food, not just to Harlem, but all over the US was a big thing. So we're bootstrap revolutionaries, and we got to do it, as Malcolm said, by any means necessary, with or without permission, with or without acknowledgement. I'm not asking anybody for my sovereignty. I am sovereign, and I live it. And my hands are the hands that decide what goes into my mouth. And, so we need to really get it together. So we did it in Harlem. And if I did it in Harlem, I could do it anywhere in the world. And not only Harlem, we did it in LA. We did it, right there in Leimert Park. We did it in Philadelphia, in Germantown. We did it in DC, right there across from Howard University, all over. Even we did it not just in our community, we went uptown too. Yeah, from 1990 to 1994, I owned Green City Market and Cafe, downtown Bethesda, Maryland. Okay. And I've sprung a group of disciples, young brothers, opened up an operation called Delights of the Garden. They had five outlets, Cleveland. So let's just do it. And thanks today that we have One Africa, that's it. That's what we need right now to make this difference and make sure there's no food desert anywhere on this planet. Because ultimately, we boast we are the original people. Yes. So everyone is on this planet is our offspring. And we better make sure that, there's no food desert anywhere on this planet, period. So this is where I'm coming from, and this is where, we put fire on food as a weapon. So we have to produce. We have to produce. So the Black Farmers Association of America, we have folks in there. My daughter's running that organization today. We have folks in there. We have tomato farmers right there in the US. They got bumper to bumper tomatoes. And what do we do? Yes, here comes Sunfire. Here comes the hot stepper. We're going to teach this person how to dehydrate tomatoes, how to do this, how to do that. So, what I do, I bring value and add with the farmer to our basic, because they're not making any money selling their raw material. And this is what One Africa is about. Not just the minerals and all of this stuff, but even our food. Look at what they did with our food. They own all our food in South Africa. Yes, I was in South Africa. I was in Cape Town back in June for the Good Life show. We went and we showed them who are the food masters, especially the organic food. Who is the father of organic raw food on this planet? Who invented me, a whole cuisine, single-handedly? But we've been doing it, brother and sisters, brothers and sisters, we have been doing it from where we have come from in the past 49 years to where we are today. And our people, our community, you see, the thing is, some of us just haven't gotten to the gate of wellness and what this thing. A lot of this, there's been a quiet revolution. So welcome home. Welcome home, because One Africa and this civilization that we're building now, if you're not into health, you're going to be dropped at the wayside, because being sick is not part of the plan. We don't have to be sick. So each one of us, individually and collectively, we got to change this paradigm. We are sick because of our plate. And we need to give acknowledgement to how we have had to do certain things, basically as spooks sitting by the door. Today's US food and agriculture folks who set the food guidelines. Guess who did that? The one that they're operating on right now, which is my plate. And my plate says, my plate, me as an individual, it's no more the pyramid where we eat all this cooked starch laced with a whole bunch of fat, a whole bunch of grease, and we get arthritis, high blood pressure, diabetes, blindness, Alzheimer's, all of that. Man, let's ban this stuff. Let's get rid of disease. They've created such a big industry on disease, keeping us sick. So, yes, in this civilization that we are in right now, it's not only about technology, but yes, wellness and food. We got to step up and protect and defend our life. individually based on what's on my plate. Michelle Obama, when she did that new food guideline for the US, it says my plate should be 50% fruits and vegetables. This is what is the US standard right now. So whether we're sovereign or not, whether we got money or not, we still end up being sick based on our plate. And getting sick is an expensive proposition today. So we don't have to be sick. Our plate needs to be detoxed. It needs to be cleansed up. You know, it's very, well, anyway, let's keep moving forward.
Okay,
Let's
thanks a
get to
lot.
another question.
Thanks,
Thank you,
Mike.
my brother, for the question.
I want to say this quickly, and then I want you to respond quickly. You said that you haven't drank water in what, 49 years?
47 years now.
47, okay.
Right.
But that don't mean you haven't consumed it. True?
Well, I said water as you know it.
Okay.
What
Okay,
I
we
drink is
yeah.
what I drink is H3O2, structured water. Here. This is what I drink. Watermelon, melon flavored water. My
Okay.
water has to come through a plant. It has to come through trees because it is filtered and is structured that our body can use it. But drinking right now, they got us with this whole stupidity of drinking 8 glasses of water a day. And yeah, some of us, we go along with it fine. But water dilutes everything it comes in contact. We're diluting our life. We thought we beat the Matrix, but they come with different angles. We need to drink water from food. Our water should come from food. Pineapple water, orange water, grape water, mango water, lettuce water, spinach water, celery water, cucumber, a sugarless water melon for those of you with diabetes and XYZ. But basically, the plants are our connectors to the universe. And if we're not having that direct relationship with the plants who are filtering these waters for us. This is bottled water. This is a bottle of water, watermelon bottle at the source. This is a bottle, this outside green thing, organic, go back to the earth. So we take care of a whole lot of business by respecting the order of life as it was laid out by Ra, the sun. And our ancestors, we have definitely diverted from our foundation of eating. We have been on this planet based on recorded history for at least 1 million years. And what the heck are we eating today? Corn, rice, potato. You go into even go to One Africa, go to the search engine and find out how long human beings been eating rice. Fonio, even Fonio in West Africa, 6,000 years. All of these complex carbohydrate, complicated foodless foods that we've been gorging on every day, the white flour, the wheat, and all of these things. It's less than 10,000 years we've been eating those foods, and we have been on the planet for at least 1 million years. And just 10,000 years ago, we started eating these things. And you hear what nutrition call these foods, complex carbohydrate, complicated sugar. They're not even sugar, they're precursors to sugar. So you see what I'm surrounded with, pineapple, watermelon, sugar. But yeah, there's a whole nother thing about that. But thanks to the City University of Los Angeles, a university that was founded by Dr. Henry Anderson, I received an honorary PhD. For having developed sun-fired food, not just the food and the art of the food, but also I have a whole science that I've observed behind this. And this is what I call the electromagnetic energies of food. And this is my foundation, my contribution to make sure that when we're talking about food, what is the original, natural, and best food for human consumption? So that we can live an optimum life, What is the science behind this? How to combine the food? What is the best food? All of these things. So this is what we're bringing in as educators. And it's just the subject is about food. We need to put food on the dinner table conversation these days. What's that on your plate? Do you sure you want to eat more of that? Look at your medical condition. But yes, it's a drug. We are dope addicts, and we're producing in our body the most dangerous drugs of all: food addiction. Food addiction. We are producing the drug in the body because if it doesn't digest, if that bread and butter, that meat and potato, that slutty that we eat is not digesting, it's going to ferment, it's going to decompose, it's going to produce toxins, it's going to produce disease, and you're going to be addicted to it, that you come to a point where it's hard to reverse it. But it all can be reversed. Thanks to Dr. Goss, Dr. Laila Africa, we have had some stalwarts, and many today, Dr. Jewel Pookrum, we have Queen Afua, we have men. Look, we have been doing it. So it's just some of us just haven't been, stepping accordingly because of the situation we're facing, with this addiction and with the situation that we don't have enough. We don't have enough to step up and eat the foods that are not going to make us sick. But family, the time is here. And we are coming together and let's have these conversations. That is why this particular conversation we're having right now, because we do have this knowledge within our community, and there are many, many people that someone you know right now probably is are in a position to just help you hold your hand. We are the most devoted natural food eaters on the planet. We are very loyal, faithful customers. And a lot of this research has been done. And when we get into it, we get into it. And we spread the word. You know how we are, the grapevine. We spread the word. So, Dr. Sharita, thank you so much for your work that you've been doing and all of our other pioneers, Dr. Sabi, our organization, the African Wellness Network. We brought Dr. Sabi to Harlem in 1980 and took him to the highest level where we could present him to our community in Harlem in 1980. We took him to Columbia University to bring this brilliant scholar to open up direct into the community and drop this knowledge. And he has made a tremendous difference also. So we give thanks to all of our healers. We have a lot of healers out here that's been on the front line for many years. So let's step up, and also thank our ancestors that have dropped these gems and that have set us up to continue with this right now. But then, of course, it's a revolution. A luta continua. The struggle continues, and the food revolution. We're just bringing it up to date.
Shay, oh,
Give Scott know that we're televising the revolution right now. This is it. So I'm sorry, go ahead with your question.
okay, so I want to go to our next team member, Larry Fields. Are you able to unmute?
Yes, I am, and I am here. And I am, you're going to have to give me a second to gather myself because our guest has just taken me through almost a historical foundation that I'm reliving. I'm reading a book called The Second Emancipation by Howard French, and the launch point is Kwame Nkrumah. And so he deals with history through the lens of the upbringing of Kwame Nkrumah and how Pan-Africanism formed. And so, I mean, I'm just here and I've got a million thoughts going through my mind, But what the question that I have, the first question is probably the most political one since we're talking about diet, is what was our diet like prior to the transatlantic slave movement? What did we eat prior to getting on those boats?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to take some deep searching to find that exactly, but we definitely know that we brought a lot of our food with us, and even Jamaica today, just looking at the ackee, looking at many foods that we actually brought and planted here in the Americas, that would give us a big clue of what our diet was back then before the trade. And also look at what's going on right now today in Burkina Faso and in other places around the continent where we are reclaiming the desert and planting food, planting healing trees. Look at, Traore has put in a big juice processing plant. I think something like $80 million in equipment to set up a fruit processing plant. So there is quite a bit that we have lost. There's quite that we, a much we have retained. But again, let's look at not just within those past 500, 600 years, but let's even go back further, as I mentioned, 5,000 years, 10,000 years. Because the foundation has been set, but we look at what has come in since then, and the whole food system has been upended. And even today, look at the things that even folks in Africa telling me I should not be eating so much fruit. I'm pretty much still a fruitarian. You should not be eating too much fruit. Fruits are not food. They're not food. But this is what we were taught by folks who wanted us to ship the fruits to the UK and other places. And we heavy on the cassava. We heavy on the yam. We heavy on the complex carbohydrates, that belly full, And of course, since we got here, we had to find, the odds and ends. So now it's about that time to reset. To reset, but yes, there are some foundation information that is still out there as to what did we bring. But again, we could see it, the influence of what we actually put on those ships that we brought, that today it is still around. You go back to Africa and you see even at the W.E.B. Du Bois Museum, Cultural Center there in Accra. You see the same ackee tree there. The same ackee tree that was originated there, we brought to the side. And of course, the soursop and the okra and quite a bit that we have brought with us.
You know that when you brought up the discussion about rice, that was the first thing that came to mind because so many of our sisters brought rice sewn into their hair, along
Oh,
with
yes.
maps and so forth. So, my follow-up question, if you don't mind, is what should I be eating now? I'm a
Okay.
man. I eat chicken and fish, and for a while I was just a pescatarian. I seemed like I gained weight then, but I've recently cut gluten out to the extent that I can, and I feel so much better. It doesn't make sense. What are the elements, I guess, it's a long-winded question. What are the elements that I should include in my diet today on a daily basis?
Okay, well, let's look at the foundation that Michelle Obama set out for us. That my plate, our plate should be personalized. And the way it's structured, the US guideline, Food and Nutrition Guideline today says that my plate should consist of 50% fruits and vegetables. That's fresh food. 50%, half of it, about 30% of that, should be vegetable and about 20% fruits, more or less. And that's a big leap from the five servings of fruits and vegetable a day that the pyramid was have us doing. So let's start from there. And also, let's go to the other 50%. The other 50% says protein and grains. So they're giving you the option immediately, right there, plain and simple, that you don't have to eat animals. The pyramid had all this listing of different proteins, animal products that you could eat, and also all the different listings of starch. So they're saying protein, so it's cool to be a vegetarian or vegan, whatever the word suits you best. And also, when it comes to the starch, that the grains are the preferred ones. So just looking at that right now, and looking at the system that I developed in 1979, which even when I went and did a presentation at the US Congress in 1992 during the Clinton administration, where Senator Alcee Hastings from Florida set it up for me when they were debating the health care bill to let's talk about how what should our people in the US be eating so that we don't have all the sick care that costs
Pat
government
George?
so much money. Excuse me? Okay. So basically, the post or the chart that I still deal with today is the same thing. Well, on that, I said 25% fruits, 25% vegetables, and 25% protein and or starch. So the thing is, to answer your question, what you should be eating today, number one, a great amount of fresh foods. Ideally, one meal a day is quite adequate. Two meals, that's fine if you are burning it like that. But three meals a day, that breakfast, we need to be careful with the breakfast. First, we look at the human body and we see how the system works on a daily basis. So you divide your day into three equal parts of 8 hours, and what goes on? The most crucial part, that one third, that 8 hours is when we are sleeping. What are we doing as it relates to food when we are sleeping? Of course, we're not eating, so we're not supposed to be digesting. So the body finally gets a rest to the digestive system so that the body can do other things. So the body cannot digest and eliminate simultaneously. So for us to do three square meals a day with breakfast, lunch, and dinner with complex carbohydrates, that is the starch, with and the starch group, the complex carbohydrates are the grains, the beans, and the roots. But you qualify which ones within each one of those three subcategories. So the roots, the deeper the root grows into the earth, the more starches has or complex carbohydrate, obviously the less water it would have. So the roots that are growing closer to the surface of the earth, carrot, beet, turnips, parsnip, onion, garlic, all of these roots that are juiceable, that would produce a high volume of liquid, those are safe because the body is 70% moisture. But going from the sweet potato on down, the deeper they grow, the more starch they got, the more complex carbohydrates they have. And your body, now these are precursors to sugar. Your body has to now convert these complex carbohydrates into simple carbohydrate to turn them into sugar. So when we are youth in our youthful days, we are busy. So we can eat all of these heavy beans, rice, beans, grains, and roots, and but we're burning them. We're turning them into sugar. But as we become more mature, more sedentary, and less sweating, less activity, less cardiovascular activity, we're not turning these foods into sugar. So they're not being digested. So for them to be utilized, they first need to be digested. So then you have to look at food combining. See, the body owner's manual has been missing. And what our relationship with food, what is the best natural original foods and when and how we should eat these foods. So for 8 hours when we're sleeping, we are fasting. So the body is doing its repair work. So all of the food you've put in your body for the day, the body now, during the repair period, the fasting period, the sleeping mode, 8 hours, you are now literally putting the body in the body shop when you put it in the bed, and it's all systems are being checked. So the cells that you no longer utilize, now they're going to be taken off the line, and the body's going to build new cells to replace them when you are sleeping. So this is why the sleep is critical. It is definitely mandatory. It's involuntary. You could be on the highway 80 miles an hour, and it's that moment you go to sleep on the steering wheel. So we have to sleep. We better sleep, and it's a built-in safety valve. So just looking at just that and seeing now, how do we relate to food? What is going on with this food situation? So when you wake up in the morning, you go into phase two. And phase two, the body automatically goes into elimination mode. It wants to release the waste that was generated during the reparation period while you were sleeping. So for 8 hours, it's the breaking of your fast. And now, since the bankers hijack the food basket, it was turned into a meal called a breakfast. But literally, it's break fast. You are breaking the fast. So scientifically, when you break a fast, you don't put in building foods into the body. You're putting in foods that are going to facilitate elimination. So see, if we're not looking at these things and we're not following, the rhythms of the body, then we're going on a collision course with our nature, and we doing things in the morning like having cereals, which the banker snuck in there on our plate because it's a big profitable item, and they built your breakfast meal around cereals because they could take a nickel worth of wheat and turn it into a big $5 product, with all the bells and whistles, the jingles and the dangles, and all of that in there. But your body is trying to eliminate in the morning. Your body doesn't need cornmeal porridge or some famous Captain cereal or anything like that. Your body wants foods now that are going to facilitate the elimination, the electric food. And this is why we talk about the electromagnetic energies of these foods. And just as Dr. Sabi brought it to us and really expounded on the electric energies of food, now we need to look at the whole science. So you have the electrical foods, and you have the magnetic foods. The higher the food grows, the more electrical it is, because the force on the planet, or that affects the planet, that affects the electrical and the magnetic energies of the food, the sun. That's where the electricity comes from. This is the electrical food, the high moisture foods. And the higher the moisture, the more electrical it is. So you have something like the coconut water, which is our natural water that's been filtered by the plant, by the coconut tree. It has more electrolytes, the original sports drink, the original energy blessing, than any other food on the planet. So as the moisture level decreases, the electrolytes decrease. So the next level of high electrolytic energy of foods are the melons, the watermelon, 99% water. It is water. When you're eating watermelon, you're literally drinking water. This is our legacy. Let them, put the caricature out there with us smiling with a big watermelon in our face. Thank goodness. Absolutely. We are drinking electrical water every time. So this is innate wisdom and also ancestral legacy that we don't know where we got this from, but hey, this is real. So we're talking electrifying the body in the morning to remove the waste. So in the morning, you want electrical foods, high moisture, high fiber foods. So in the morning, In response to your question, let's consume fruits. High moisture, high fiber, because you are coming into this digestive system, this tunnel through your body that originates from your tongue and ends up at your anus. This is a tunnel. This is a passageway where you're supposed to be dumping food into here, processing it, and let it jump the mucus lining and go into your body, into the bloodstream. So, how do you treat this passageway? So, you want to clear it out in the morning. You want to come in and hose out the entire digestive system. So, you want high moisture, high fiber. You want to sweep, mop, scrub, and eliminate. For 8 hours, your body is focused on elimination, breaking the fast. You read any book on fasting, it is totally unscientific to break a fast with bacon and eggs, faking bacon and granola or XYZ. You want liquids. So, this is what we recommend, fruits in the morning. That's a challenge for a lot of us because fruits now are coming in as medicine. And if you're diabetic and you have all this problem because you've been eating all that starch with fat in it that then digests, that now you store in the tissues and it's complicated your life, and you start eating some fruits, now that fruit is going to unpack and detox you, and you may have a diabetic, coma reaction. So this is where your doctor comes in. This is where your wellness practitioner comes in. This is where your health coach comes in, and now getting you the right information so you can make better choices. And then now, so we're talking third phase of the day. This is when you're putting in the building material. So if we were to look at this on a clock, we would see that the natural time to sleep, and of course we're living in our real world these days, and some of these things it's hard for us to just jump back into it. Like jumping back into eating fruits abruptly. You're going to go through a healing crisis and it could be fatal. But it's better to start the journey and go soft pedal into it because otherwise you keep packing the system with stuff that is not being processed, not being utilized, and it turns into waste, toxemia, toxins, garbage that now challenges the body to produce cancer cells and all of these other things, or God forbid, a stroke, artery burst, plumbing burst, and all that filth or waste strikes your nerve and you're paralyzed or you have an aneurysm and it's instant death. Let's be realistic and let's come in. So, what's on your plate now? So, ideally, we look at the natural time to be sleeping. 8 p.m. to 4 a.m., 2 hours after sunset, you go to bed. After the sun sets at 6 o'clock, and you rise up 2 hours before sunrise, 4 a.m. So, of course, back in our ancient traditional places, where even right now in Africa, there's probably like one third of the world in Africa still don't even have electricity. So, prior to the advent of electricity, you went to bed after can't see when the sun goes down and you wake up, at the crack of dawn and you hear the rooster. We don't have the wildfowl anymore. But even in your suburb today, you even hear the birds chirping at your windowsill at 5, 4 a.m., 5 a.m. So it's all about the rising and the setting of the sun. So the sun is coming into our neighborhood to cook our food every day for 12 hours, whether you're in the ghetto, whether you're underserved, whether you're not sovereign, whether you're uptown or wherever, the sun cooks your food every day for 12 hours, very meticulous, very exacting. And when the pot is ready, the birds come home to feast. And this is when we come home for the harvest. And we must keep a good harvest all the time, these fresh fruit, because what you want to do now, you want to actually do an efficient transfer of the solar energy from the foods into our body. You want to extract the sun out of the food. So there are three critical foods in this life that are essential. Sunshine. You need to live where the sun shines, and you need to expose your body to the sunshine to get that vitamin D and to actually, literally absorb the sunshine. That is food. And number two, oxygen. Without sunshine, without oxygen, there is no life. So your first breath is the breaking of your fast because you know you've been fasting in that embryonic stage. And your last breath is your last supper. So without oxygen, so we need oxygen. So we need to get the oxygen from the food. When you bite into an apple and you see it oxidized, oxygen. So we want to get the oxygen out of food. We want to get the sunshine out of our food. We want to get the oxygen out of our food. And number three, living water. Water from the plants, from the food. Again, the watermelon, the apple, the peach, the pear. That is water that you're extracting from these foods. And this is H3O2. This water was structured by the trees. So you see, we can talk about all of the heavy stuff about the politics and the culture and about the business of food. But when you weave in the science now with it, now let's sit down. Let's create our curriculums where we literally teach our people about food. We don't have a clue. We don't have a clue, and we end up eating foodless foods. So let's get up to date. Many of us got the information, and not just me. I've gotten this information from other elders in my community growing up. I've gotten it from reading books. It's in there, it's been out there. Food, the gift of Osiris. That is a two-volume research volume books. That costs you $300 per volume. Many of us don't even know even books like this exist. And they show you every single food item that ever was consumed in Kemet. When, what era, what civilization, what dynasty, and when you start seeing how the corrupt foods came in after a while. And you see the mystery system. You see all the stuff back then. You see the father of medicine, Imhotep. When he they would bring you to House of Life, not hospitals, and they would teach us how not to be sick. Let's come back home. Let's come back to our roots and let's do this. So the third phase of our day is the intake mode. This is when you're going to put in the building materials, the foods that are going to reconstruct your body, and the foods that are cleansing, as we mentioned earlier, the electrical food, the higher the moisture, the more cleansing the food is. We do that in the morning so we can clean the body and get it ready for the builders. So the electrical foods you consume between 4 a.m. and 12 noon. So as the sun rise, you want to rise with the sun. As the sun burn the clouds out of the sky, it burns the mucus out of your body. So you're getting in there hosing out, scrubbing, sweeping, mopping, brushing, and clearing the entire system out, getting it ready now for the new harvest for the day. So you have 8 hours to eliminate in the morning. And again, the body cannot digest and eliminate simultaneously. So digestion has to come to an halt so that elimination takes place. So when digestion comes to an halt, when you're sleeping at night, you get up in the morning like clockwork. You're eating according to this rhythm that I'm outlining. Your bowel movements are going to happen in the morning. Your evacuation is going to happen in the morning. You get out there and you sweat. From 4 a.m. to 12 noon and rise with the sun. The skin is the largest organ of elimination. Pour it out. And then from 12 noon to 8 p.m., you are going to replenish all that you have burnt. So, first, let's consider replenishing what we have burnt. We have been given the old equation backwards. We go consume and then try to figure out how to burn it. Okay, so your body, your life activities is what's going to drive what's on your plate, how much protein you're going to use. So you have four major groups of food now. So you know about the three essential: sunshine, oxygen, and living water, not no empty blank water that has no value to it. Spring water, bottled water, even recycled toilet water they're selling us today. And they just say, drink 8 glasses of water a day, because for goodness sake, look at what's on your plate. You're 80, 70% water. You're not drinking enough. So they're selling you empty blank water. And we know water dilutes everything it comes in contact with. So what makes you feel that that water is not diluting your life? 8 glasses of it a day, and you thought you were woke. Yeah, they came to you through another door in the matrix. And now have you drink, diluting your life, drinking 8 glasses of empty water. Why not coconut water? Why not lettuce water? Spinach water, watermelon water, water apples, water cress. Let's get the water from our foods, you know, and let's come on back home. So in the afternoon now, if you're going to do 2 meals for the day, those meals should be centered around protein, and your protein foods are the foods that are high in fat. So skip the animal protein, as again, you were given the option that you don't really need the animal protein. Your body cannot process animal protein effectively. Your digestive system is more than 32 feet long. So animal protein, when it goes into your body, on average, it takes 4 hours just to digest. And especially you combining it with starch, and you have three of those meals a day, your body spend 12 hours for the day just in digestive mode. You know you're not going to eliminate, you know, according to your intake. So we end up being overweight or overweight. And you go back and you listen to grandma, she used to tell us direct, you know, you're full of S. So we just need to go poop. You know, we're eating more than we are putting out. And this is what it's all about. So we got to decrease the amount, but get the quality, the essential nutrients in there. And this is what plant food can give this to us. And then now, you know, I am here really just to provoke you and to share with you some information so that you can now go challenge me and fact check me and see how does this thing really, really work. So you go and do your research, because here we come compressing what into 60 minutes, some like 600 hours of information that I'm compressed into these 60 minutes for you, so that you can get started, you can get provoked, you know, to go figure this thing out. Take your life into your own hands and go defend your life. It's a revolution, there's a war out here, and you are actually been caught with your guards down, and you go eating out. Convenience have gotten the best of you, and now you are sick. We are all generally sick. We're sicker than ever as a human species, and they got, anyway, on and on. But you
Doctor.
got the science, you got a kiss of the science, and you got what the plate should look like. So go do further research.
Just this one quick question. What form of protein do you recommend outside of the animal protein?
Okay, so protein, so the fruit group is the complex carbohydrate. That is the simple carbohydrate. That's sugar. You're getting your sugar from fruits, direct, simple sugar. Protein, the group that is classified as protein, these are foods that are high in fat. So you want to look at plant foods that are high in fat. Okay, so there are basically three categories. Number one, you have a group that are fruits that are high in fat. Fruits that are high in fat, avocado, number one. You also have the olives, fatty food, protein, coconut. That mature coconut meat that you can get oil out of it. So you see, you get olive oil, out of the fruit protein. You get avocado oil out of that fruit protein. You get coconut oil out of the mature coconut. You know, that's fat. So that's protein. And then the ackee from Jamaica, fat, protein. So those are the fatty fruits that are high in protein. And then you have your nuts and seeds. Almonds, you get almond oil. Walnut oil. You know, you name it. The seeds, cashew, pumpkin seeds, sunflower, all of these are what you want to look at. But now there's a science now. And these are literally meat. These are protein. And the original meaning of the word meat, by the way, is food. And you see it in your scripture in Genesis. Behold, for I've given unto you the seed bearing, the seed yielding trees, and unto you it shall be your meat. And this has been around. This is not anything new. So if there's a law of food, we can just post that one up. You know, seeds, nuts, perfect protein, but there is a way now, even as Elijah Muhammad had it in his book, you know, How to Eat to Live. He said, don't eat nuts. Well, why? Because we traditionally eat nuts roasted. So you should never eat roasted nut. You should never actually eat any cooked fat. So once you apply heat to any food that is high in fat, you're going to make it very challenging for your body to digest it. So the nuts and seeds, pumpkin seeds, sunflower seed, hemp seed, sesame seed, you name it. These should all be raw. But now they are raw, but they're dry. So at one point they were fresh. So if you get, like, say, your fresh pecans, you live in down south and you got pecan tree in your yard, that's fine. Eat those pecans. That's nice, good, rich protein. But once those pecans are dried out, then there's a science now that we need to do to really activate them, because their life force is dormant. So you just don't go crunching, munching on some pecans that have been dried, some almonds, some Brazil nuts, some walnuts and pistachio. You know, there's probably about 60 different nuts and seeds. They used to brag about all these variety of animal protein, the fish, the duck, the dog, and even dogs, some places they've been eating. But, you know, the different types of steak and lobster and all of these things. But they never brag about the great, massive variety of fruit protein or food protein, the seeds and nuts, all of them, pistachios, pine nuts, sunflower seed, sesame seed. Pumpkin seed is the best. It's my favorite. Pumpkin seed, we in our neck of the wood, we of the hood, we call it pumping seed. Because pumping seed, especially for the brothers, pumpkin seed has a lot of zinc in it. So it strengthens and protects the prostate gland. Zinc is the main mineral that we lose when we ejaculate. We dump a lot of zinc. So be careful how you know, ejaculating, you know, and not replenishing. And also the zinc and other minerals that are in the pumpkin seed strengthens the female uterus. So it's a good his and hers. So you can have pumpkin seed milk. So now we see, so at Sunfire, you come to our institute. This is what I do. I have a culinary institute. I teach people, I've been teaching this now, wow, 47 years I've been teaching, actively teaching it. And I've done nothing else for the last 47 years. And we have produced thousands of raw food chefs all over the planet. And when I say raw food chef, this doesn't mean that I can't cook, because we do also have a cooked food way, because you need to come in to some kind of transition. So we're not looking, and we're not even trying to advocate and telling you stop eating your animals, stop eating your cooked food. No, we're not about that. We are giving you information for you to make your informed decision. So we do have a portion a cuisine that we call conscious cookery. So we're setting up a restaurant in Ghana, one of my students setting up a resort there, and we're setting up a restaurant in that resort, and 70% of the foods are going to be raw food. And when I'm talking raw food, please don't try to conceptualize eating raw potatoes, raw rice. No. Okay. So it's a whole different level. And that's why we even be careful by using the word raw food. We use sun-fired foods, foods that are cooked by the sun. So because it's really not raw, it is already cooked, but it's cooked to perfection. But when you do cook food, please understand that you kill it. When you apply heat to food, plants, animals, human beings, above the highest recorded solar temperature ever on planet Earth, 135 degrees Fahrenheit, you kill it. So when you kill food, when you cook a carrot and then you try to plant it, it is not going to grow. Because you've killed it, you've destroyed the life force in it. So it's the same thing. You cook that carrot and you're trying to eat it, you're not going to grow accordingly because that carrot is now dead. And that carrot lost its digestive enzyme. The potato loses its digestive enzyme. The rice, the macaroni loses its digestive enzyme the way it was processed. So these foods cannot aid in their own digestion. So when you're eating cooked, dead, devitalized food, now it challenges your digestive system to now create an excessive amount of digestive enzyme so that you can now process food that are coming into your body without digestive enzyme. And generating digestive enzyme is the biggest job you can ever ask your body to do. And we call it the niggeritis because you are going to go to sleep after you eat two big meals of starch and protein, bad food combination. So when you're doing your starch and protein meals, if you're going to do those, one for lunch, one for dinner, we recommend the protein for lunch. So whether it's animal protein or plant protein, your standard plate should be 25% protein and 75% vegetables. So the vegetable group, so you have your fruit, which is sugar and high moisture. You have your protein, which is fat and protein, the nuts, the seeds, as we were mentioning those. There's also some other protein foods like beans, but be careful with those because the average bean has 30% protein, but 70% starch. That's why it gasses you up when you cook it the way we normally cook it. So, yes, all of this information, we're packing it in, condensing it, compressing it, and giving it to you. The most essential ones is what I'm firing off to you, rapid fire. So, and also, my brother had sent me the questions. He had sent me some questions, about 12 questions. So, I internalized those questions. So, I'm literally answering those questions now. So I'm jumping around here, there, but I'm nipping all those questions off to get this to you. Remember, I'm an educator and I am literally teaching you now. And I studied with Sweet Ernie, a brother that's, a scholar that's got the gift to be a persuasive speaker. And I can really get my point across so that you can get it and see that. What I would say is not the food in your life, but the life in your food that actually nourishes. So it's not the volume, it's the life in the food that you're looking for. So those protein, you got that, the bean protein, peanuts is a great protein, but peanut is a pea. It is not a nut, so you should not roast it and eat it like it's a nut because it crunches. Once you apply heat to the fat in the peanut, it's not going to digest. And then most of you are not going to enjoy raw peanut butter, okay? Because it's that toasted oil that you like. So we have to really qualify these things effectively. to see exactly what we're doing to the body. Soybean is another high bean that is high in protein, but soybean is not digestible. The human body cannot digest soybean at all. That's a whole nother class. That's a big seminar. We've plenty of workshops, plenty of seminars, and so all of these things, but that information is already on the World Wide Web. So go and ask, the search engine why soybeans is not digestible in the human body. The same thing, trying to find out whether some of these modern foods are healthy for you. Go ask the search engine, when did human beings first started eating corn? So that's why Dr. Sebi got on you about the hybrid foods. But it's not just so much about hybrid, because hybridity doesn't necessarily spell total negativity. But yeah, as you point out, the precursor to the corn, the teosinte, yes, but that in itself was not food originally. So it's a big matrix. It's a big catch 22. So we have to look and see what came first or what really didn't even come at all. And it's just fake food or foodless food. And we're getting right deep into that. That's where they've taken our food. So right now, they're putting nanoparticles into your food. So now you can eat your lettuce and be vaccinated. So that big experiment showed them a lot. That big COVID experiment showed them a lot. So they're saying they're not going to have to vaccinate you no more. But right now, your lettuce and your tomato, if you bought it through our channels, you're automatically going to be vaccinated with no warning on the label or anything like that. So, family, let's wake up. Let's wake up. What's on your plate, please? My
Thank
brother.
you so much. Thank you so much. That's incredible. Thank you.
Dr. Irish, do you
Yes.
have any time for some of the panelists to ask questions, or how's your
Yes,
time?
I have all the time that is needed. Yes.
Okay, I want to go to the brother came early, so I want to go to him. That's Brother Khalik.
Yes.
Khalik, you have a question? All right, it's Brother Khalik here. Yeah, he's here. You want to unmute?
Oh, okay. Yeah, greetings, greetings. Really, really no question, just a statement of appreciation. Glad to still hear this message being spread all over. It's been an influence on my family. Father, seven children, and now I guess 12 or 13 grandchildren. I'm trying to keep count. So, this has this kind of information has a profound impact on generations, and that's the force multiplier, the how it spread all throughout the planet, as was discussed earlier. It is happening. I'm just a testimony of that.
Appreciate you attending. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, my brother.
I want to go to Nanette.
Dr. Arif, thank you so much. This has been so enlightening. I actually got on impulsively, and I'm so glad that I got on. I accidentally saw the advert at the last minute. So, first of all, buenas tardes. Hablo
Ah, buenas
español.
tardes.
Y
Bendiciones, Nanette.
todo el continente de Latinoamérica también. Yeah.
Bien,
And
bien,
we
super.
also, I work with Queen Esther. She's on the line as well. And so we brought Queen Apua's program, Sacred Women, Rites of Passage program. The first cohort graduated recently. And then also have founded a nonprofit working with African youth in agriculture and agribusiness. And so I have so many questions for you, but first I want to know, where can I get more information to dig deeper on what you
Okay.
are sharing?
Well, my book is going to be out soon. So right now, I'm doing the monk, I'm monking, trying to get this book out. So I do have some things I'll be doing online. I think we did put a posting up today. We're doing a Equinox detox, a 9-day online Equinox detox, starting the 17th to the 25th of September. So this is when one of the pivot points of the year when the body does its natural elimination, its natural cleansing. So you can check the link in my bio for that in Instagram, and you'll be able to see how you can join us with that. But also, I do one certification course per week, per month. So it's a 36-hour all immerse into the kitchen for 36 hours over a period of 6 days. And I have my lab up here on the farm, and again, it's a beautiful farm. All the harvest, you see that surrounds me, it all grows here. So we do have that. So the link in the bio is going to get you that information as well. I'm not posting too much on social media these days because my entire system has been hacked, whether it's by by some robots or who knows, but I'm not pointing any finger. Could have even been an inside job, but it has given me an opportunity to just go mute online. So this is really the best forums to reach me now is through this community interview because we're coming directly to the people, and we want these networks, so mostly I'm going to be doing interviews for a good while and not initiating much myself. So because the focus is on the book, getting the book out. It's Sunfire, the Soul of Food. So it has three parts to it, the capsule of my journey, how I got here through my ancestral kitchens, and also the science. We break down the science completely in the book with posters and all of that stuff involved. And then the meat of the book are the recipes. We have 90 recipes, beautiful photos. So we're putting, the capstone on the book right now. So it's going to be available sometime, after December, might be, early part of next year, but that's where my focus is right now. But I do receive students on a limited basis, but it's best to get it through the link in my bio. We're not posting much online because we don't have the capacity, to mingle with too many strangers and robots these days,
Hey.
Okay, thank you.
Number
Thank
one
you.
is
Okay, excuse me.
what
Let's go one, excuse me. Let's go one question each so we can get, we have a lot of people here, so we want to get everybody to get at least get one question if they want. And if he
me
wants to
ask my
stay,
one.
we can come back.
Let me
Thanks a
ask
lot.
my one question. The only question I had was,
Okay, I'm going to go to Kimmy O. Kimmy O, you
I'm
want to unmute?
sorry. The only question I had one
Excuse
question
me.
actually because.
Okay, we got to move on. We have a lot of people here. Kimmy O, do you have a
She can
question,
take my
please?
question. She's very
Okay,
urgent
Nanette,
to.
go ahead, Nanette. Okay. Let's go to Queen Esther. Queen Esther.
Yes. Just
Sorry,
wanted to.
muted. I'm sorry, he kept muting me, so I wasn't able to ask the question that I was given. I was asking, thinning hair. How do you, what do you, what food do you use for thinning hair?
Check out here, man. All right, see that. All right, good.
Okay. Which foods do I recommend for thinning hair? Well, one thing, as we grow and mature, we come to realize that, we've been living too upright for too long, most of our life. So ultimately the topsoil in our head, erodes and it comes down. That's why in men you see the manifestation of the long beard and things like that after we reach a certain level of aging. of living so upright. So number one, what I recommend is you first need to elevate your feet, your legs completely. So raise the foot of your bed 6 inches and sleep with your head down into the slat, because you need to reverse and bring up the toxins that are moving down to the bottom of the body, and also to bring more blood flow into the brain for those 8 hours while we're sleeping. It's going to make a tremendous difference. But you need hot stuff. You need hot stuff. Onion oil is perfect. Onion oil is perfect. So how do you get oil from onion? You can buy, they have them already set up. If you can find an Indian Ayurvedic store, they have onion oil shampoo and all of this stuff. But what some people do, they take the actual onions and dehydrate the onion, and but you need to do a volume and press the oil out of the onion. That is very, very strong. Or you can just saute onions, a whole bunch of onions, in a little bit of oil, and it's going to extract, the oil is going to extract the healing elements from the onion. It's going to be infused into it, or some other way that you can figure out how to do it. Or you can just juice onion and put a poultice right in the area where the hair is thinning, and you're going to see some topsoil activity is going to regenerate, and the hair is going to start growing back a little more robust. But also be careful of the foods that we're eating that are actually clogging up the arteries. So we're not getting the adequate blood flow coming up to the brain area. The brain is the most sensitive part of the body, and the heart, so the system try to protect it. And then, blood gets pumped up. So it's not a gravity feed for it to come up to the brain area, and hence the slant or headstands, or you do the inversion, the boots on and these kind of things. We need to, reverse the flow and get more oxygen and energy, coming back up to the brain area, and also moving the toxins along. Because that's what's the whole thing about stimulating the scalp, whether it's, massaging or brushing and things of that nature, is to move the stagnant blood that is also clogging up the vessels as well.
Great, thank you. Queen Esther?
Yes, beloved. I just wanted to say a great thank you to you. Give thanks to you, Dr. Iris, for holding form and holding fast to the work all of these years.
You're
I was
welcome,
always at the,
sister.
also a Tree of Life with Dr. Moore, Kanye, back in the
Oh,
day. You're
yes.
back
Oh,
there,
yes.
and
Oh,
we're still
yes.
here. I'm over here in Africa with Dr. Sharita and Cole, all of us over here, and we just want to know about that organic food growing, because so much GMO is starting to come into Africa
Oh, my
now.
goodness.
So
Oh,
it's
my
sad.
goodness.
So
Oh, yes.
we got to get the food, but we got to get the land. We got to do the work on the land, as our beloved goddess is doing, and so many other people, so we can get organic food out of the land, because there is that they're spiking the food with with those things that they're doing now. So we get in touch with the food through the GMO. Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely going to be, getting involved totally in Ghana when I get there, and with Dr. Sharita up in the mountains now, Aburi, we're going to be
Yes.
really bringing not just the organic fruits and vegetables forward, but we're talking microgreens as well.
Ashay.
Sprouting and all of these things, because it's the micro, not the macro, where the life is. So
Yes.
micro kale has 40 times the nutrients of a macro kale, because all they've done is pump water into it, and ultimately they're selling you water. Okay, so you
See.
want that micro, those stem cells, and also, making all the tonics and things like that. So
Yes.
we're opening up the institute in Accra. The
Yes.
flagship institute in Africa is going to be in Accra, but
Yes.
we got a good start with
Oh.
Dr. Shmita there and all of our
Yes.
brothers and sisters already in Africa, in Ghana.
Yes,
They're selling coconuts and all this stuff all over the place. So we're going to formalize this and really bring it strong. So thank you, Queen Esther.
Yes,
So
thank
great to share
you.
more
We
with
look
you.
forward to seeing you here. We're ready for it and give thanks. We're looking forward. And thank you for sharing so much education on this call today. I mean, it's one thing to say it, but it's what you say is the education just gives everything more clarity and why we really need to focus on this, saving lives and protecting. Thank you so much.
You're
Thank you,
welcome.
Dr.
Thank
Sherita, and everyone that invited you. Ashe.
you. I
Give thanks.
say. Thank you. Okay, Lenny, you want to unmute? Okay, I'm going to go to Antoinette.
Lenny's in Ghana, and she's having a problem with her reception. So when she gets reception, she'll get back on.
Okay, thanks a lot. Okay,
Hello.
Antoinette. Yes,
Hello,
Antoinette.
good evening. I'm calling from Ghana. I'm joining from Ghana, Ebury. Yeah, my question is, how do I get my rice and potatoes prepared for consumption while keeping the nutrients intact?
Okay, so with rice, we need to be careful. Okay, but at least what we need to do is if you can source wild rice, that is excellent. Or looking to other grains like the quinoa, the finer grains, the quinoa, the teff, even the fonio, the amaranth, the millet. Millet is the supreme of all grains. The thing is, we can get away with eating so much rice and not have the negative acidic effect because rice doesn't ferment and produce acid like most of the other grains will. So, but basically, what I recommend as a conscious cookery alternative is to be able to cook your rice, just steam it very gently and also serve it with lots of vegetables. Even say the jollof rice, without the chicken and things of that nature, more like a rice pilaf, and then having those vegetables incorporated in there and then also serving it with salad. But be careful with the protein at the same meal. So we recommend that you would eat the rice and the starches for dinner, and your protein meal, you should really eat it during lunch. So whether it's plant protein or animal protein, you have your protein for lunch with vegetables, say some rice, pumpkin, potato. With the potato, be careful with the large starchy potatoes, the baking potato. So you want to get potatoes that are a little more less starchy, maybe the red russet or the yellowfin or some smaller varieties of potatoes, the purple potato. A lot of these things are now more readily available. The thing is to just buy seeds and grow them ourselves, and say, but having as much vegetables with them. So if you want to do, say, a potato salad, and you would steam your potato or boil your potato, al dente. You don't want it like really mushy, mushy, mushy. And then you would process your vegetables that you would put in with the potato, your celery and, carrots or other things that you're putting in there, but also keep those light or even put in the raw vegetables, but process them very fine, like shred the carrot. Very fine. Shred the beets and other vegetables like that. Very fine. The greens, chop the greens very fine and remove the stalks, even the stem part, that part that's, say with the kale or even the callaloo and things of that nature. We boil it down because we're trying to eat the stalks, which is more of a wood. And that's why the heavy cooking. So be careful with your greens, and let's get the green leaves and chop them down fine. You know, like our sisters do in Sierra Leone and Liberia. They chop those greens down so fine with a little knife. It's amazing to see how it's shaving fine. But to chop them large pieces, like if you're going to stir fry them, no, get them a little finer, or even use your food processor and mince them down, which we call tenderizing your greens, just mincing it down. Or better yet, get the juice from your vegetables, the celery juice, the cucumber juice. And actually, I would even recommend when you're going to cook the rice, I would cook it in cucumber juice. I would cook it in coconut water. Big difference than using the regular blank empty water, because now you're infusing minerals in there. And you're also going to bring another level of flavor in there, another level of seasoning, because water again dilutes everything, and then we have to struggle to put the flavor back. So then that's why all the heavy seasoning. Be careful with our seasoning, you know, especially with starch, you know, because the starch, the rice doesn't have that much flavor. We tend to hit it heavy with salt, and then, you know, the fat, the grease, the oil, the gravy, the butter, or whatever things that we're putting in with it. So let's be a little more mindful. Let's use more culinary herbs. Like traditionally in, you know, with our conscious cookery dish, say if we're doing, say, a coconut rice, number one, you know, ideally we put the rice in the pot with some thyme in there. We get a Scotch bonnet pepper, burst it, put it in there, because you're getting all this flavor infused into there now, right off the top, that the rice is going to absorb. You know, put some allspice, pimento in there, and really start giving the rice some character so that you can enjoy it, but be very, very gentle with the salt. Be very gentle. And ideally, you don't want to cook the coconut milk down, even simmering it down in the rice to do your coconut rice. Now, we want to take things to a whole nother level. We don't highly recommend the use of, say, even coconut oil. What we teach you to do at our institute, we teach you how to make coconut cream, not coconut milk, not coconut oil, but coconut cream, to actually extract the fat from the mature coconut, that dry, hard coconut, to crack it up, remove the shells, chop it up fine, put it in a blender without water, not making coconut milk. But you're going to put in a blender. If you have a high-powered blender, great. If you don't have a high-powered blender, you got a basic home economy blender, then you're going to blend it in that blender. At low speed, you start off and use maybe a cucumber in the blender to push it down and get it started and work with that so that you grind the coconut down as fine as possible. When that coconut is ground down fine, you press the cream out. You press the fat out. And this is what we call the crème de la crème, the cream of cream. You'll never go back to coconut oil once you experience coconut cream. And don't put the coconut cream in the pot of rice to cook. Once the rice is cooked, done, got a seasoning in it, and you re get it re ready to serve it warm, now you pour your coconut cream. Because any cooked fat is not going to digest. And this is the challenge with coconut oil. It's not digesting effectively, and eating it with the starch, that bond doesn't break. And this is where we get a whole bunch of issue with starch and fat, which is literally a bad food combination. So family, there's tons and tons of these information that we're putting in the book, because this has been, you know, a path where we have been led astray by doing things in a certain way. And the biggest challenge is fire. Yes, The herbs are for the healing of the nation. The food is medicine, but fire kills the medicine and it injures the nation because it destroys the nutrients in our food. When we smell the aroma of the basil and the dill and the thyme going up in steam, that's our medicine as well that is being destroyed. So it's not the food in your life, but the life in your food that nourishes.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's try it one more time, Lenny. Question? Do you have?
Yeah, greetings, everyone.
Greetings.
I was waiting for so long to get into my turn. When it was my turn, it was difficult to talk. First of all, I want to say that I'm very, very grateful to hear that Dr. Eris have plans in Ghana. Like, I'm very, very excited to hear that. When you came to Ghana, you were having like class over here. I really wanted to be a part of it, but for some reason, I wasn't able to join. So I know that there is a chance for me
Lenny, put your question in the chat for me, and I'll ask. Lenny.
Lenny, we can't hear you,
Lenny, you please put your question in the chat because we're not able to hear you.
For some time now, I try my best.
Okay, Dr. Reese, I'm gonna go to somebody else. We'll get her question out of the chat. Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Kola, can you unmute, please, if you have a question? Lenny, we'll put your question in the chat, please. Okay, let's go to Ecologic.
Okay. All right. Please, can you hear me?
Okay, I'm going to go to Etana. You put your. Lenny, we cannot hear you. So we have to go to Etana. Etana, you can unmute and ask your question, or you want me to read it. Okay, I'm going to read her question, Dr. Iris.
Okay.
It says, greetings, Dr. Lathan. Please comment on your veggie proteins, avocado, coconut meat, and their effects on rising cholesterol and triglycerides.
I'm sorry. Repeat the question, please.
Okay, it's in the chat. Comment on your veggie proteins, avocado, coconut, meat, and their effect on rising cholesterol and triglycerides.
Okay. Well, when it comes to cholesterol, there's no plant food that contain any cholesterol. But there is one trigger point when you use coconut oil. Because it has been cooked and it doesn't break down effectively in the body, and it's also a saturated fat, it tends to trigger your body to produce an excessive amount of cholesterol itself, which throws the scale off balance. And with the triglycerides and these types of things, the main point that we're focusing on is, again, foods that don't have to be cooked. So when you're getting your protein from something like avocado, you don't want to cook it. Also, you want to balance it as well. And this is why we recommend that your plate should be no more than 25% protein and 75% vegetables. And when we speak about vegetable, when it comes to food grouping, the foods that we call vegetables are number one, the green leaf. So lots of green leafy vegetables on that plate with those protein. Also, besides the green leafy vegetables, you have non-starchy vegetables like broccoli, cauliflower, all of these vegetables, especially things like cabbage as well. These things that are very difficult to digest effectively without breaking them down. So you want to break them down as fine as possible. Whether you grind them down into a food processor, where you do like cauliflower rice to that fine degree, so that the sulfur escapes, so that the body can be able to digest these foods a lot more effectively. And also the vegetable fruits. These are vegetables that contain no starch, no protein, and no fat. So generally, they're fruits, they have seeds. So we're talking things like tomatoes. All peppers, including cayenne pepper, bell pepper, sweet pepper, chili peppers, cucumber, okra, chocho or Christophine, they may call it. But these are the vegetables, not necessarily, again, the starchy ones or the ones with any fat that we want to consume with our protein meals, but a good abundance of them. Some you may have steam, like especially say the cruciferous vegetables, even the kale, the broccoli, the cauliflower, and some you want to have as a salad. You need to have at least 20% raw food on that plate to help digest the starch or the protein. So the starch for your dinner meal, the protein for your lunch meal with 75% vegetable, both of them. Or if you're just having one meal a day, you want to have that around mid-afternoon, around 3 p.m. And again, that should primarily be protein or starch with vegetable. But protein, you can literally leave the protein off of your plate, especially if you're going to follow the principle of eating all fruits in the morning. Fruits and coconut water, you're getting enough sugar from these simple carbohydrates that you don't need now to go process starch and protein, starch, cook starch, to turn them into protein, especially if they're not going to digest effectively in your body. So it's a whole science, but the triglycerides and things of this nature, if you're doing it the way we're recommending, you're not going to have an issue at all based on the food combining and also activating, certain foods to remove what is called the enzyme inhibitors so that they can germinate and the life force is awakened so that the food can help to digest itself so you don't have to get some form of itis and generate a lot of digestive protein because a digestive enzyme, because your body, every function of your body, 24 hours a day, depend on you generating an overabundance of metabolic enzymes. These are life enzymes that you have to tap into your enzyme production bank to generate every second of your life so that all of your functions of your organs and your systems get taken place accordingly. So the lungs, the kidneys, the heart, all of these organs and systems of the body, the respiratory system, they all require you to generate specific metabolic enzymes every second of your life. And if you go into overproduction of digestive enzyme because you've eaten a lot of heavy cooked starch and protein that slams you to sleep because you got a digestive issue going on, and your body has to take time out to do all these other functions so that your body has the pathway to generate all of this excessive amount of digestive enzyme. So literally, you're robbing your bank. by generating excessive digestive enzyme through eating a lot of cooked food that has no enzyme. So this is the value of raw foods, of sun-fired foods, is that these foods aids in their own digestion. They're full of enzyme. But if all goes wrong, definitely papaya is your number one food. The papaya has more enzyme than any food on this planet, and it's in all of your digestive enzyme formulas. Usually it's the green papaya that's been dehydrated and pulverized into that white powder, which is papain, digestive enzyme. And this is what you put on your meat tenderizer. Your meat tenderizer, when you put meat tenderizer on your steak, the number one ingredient in meat tenderizer is papain, because it needs to make it now a little, remove the toughness from that steak so that your body can digest it. And this is what papain does. So without papain, that steak would choke you to death because it's too tough for you. So all of that old unprocessed protein in your system needs to now be complemented with lots of papaya. So eat lots of ripe, fresh papaya every day. If you have access to green papaya, juice it. The whole green papaya with the skin, the immature seeds, and everything. Some places in the world, India and the Far East, they would actually steam the green papaya as a squash. The digestive enzyme is so powerful, it would break things down. And then also even your pineapple, that papain, that digestive enzyme in the pineapple also breaks down unprocessed starch and protein in your system. So this is where these types of foods come in, and also activating, soaking, germinating, sprouting, and all of these things, so that your food is brought into the body at a level where your body can now process it effectively, so it doesn't go undigested. Because if undigested starch ferments, when it ferments, it produces alcohol, and you get indigestion, and it produces alcohol, and you're full of acid. So you need to bring your body to a more alkaline state. Hence, this is why we ask you to put in 75% vegetables in the body with the protein or the starch, and at least 20% raw. And that's what they have done, the Germans have done, when they engineered that burger for you and put lettuce, tomato, onion, pickle, and all of that stuff, is to help digest the meat and the starch together, which in itself is a bad food combination. So food science is very critical. And yeah, it's good to make it taste great, which is our signature, blessing, that we take basic, simple food that really is designed for healing, and we make it taste great. So you can eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you shall heal.
Okay, thank you. I have the question from Lenny now, and she said, I was thinking eating raw would help heal the ulcer, but it turned out that it rather makes symptoms worse. Can you speak to that, please?
Okay, so ulcer. What is ulcer? What triggered the ulcer? Acid. Literally, you burnt the hole in the system. So when we're talking about eating raw, again, it's a science. So you don't just, you're gonna have to do some light steaming. These foods are coarse, and they're gonna irritate the system. So ulcer, you gotta coat it. They tell you to take milk and all of these things. Carrot juice, perfect. You got to soothe it. So you can't put anything harsh in there, and especially, like raw onions and these kind of stuff. You're like pouring, flame on the fire, literally, by, so hot peppers and all of these things, heavy spicy foods. And don't use the processed spices with what is called approved spices in those blends. because there's MSG and other stuff in there. So eating raw with that ulcer like that, now, I would say you really want to do more fruits, number one. But when you do the vegetables, juice. I would do my juices, my vegetable juices, especially the hard, coarse ones, and that would help. But the number one protocol in healing anything, especially things like ulcer, diabetes, arthritis, and all of these things, first we need to make peace with the cause. What caused this? So the number one protocol is get that off of your plate. Because ultimately, it's not what's good for it, it's what's bad for it that's important. So you remove the cause off the plate, but it's a tough journey because that cause is very addictive. So let's be careful, let's be mindful, and this is where you're going to go get coaching. You're going to get assistance from someone who has the expertise to be able to guide you. But doing it on our own without doing the proper research, then yes, it could turn us off completely of the journey because, we do want to eat foods that are compatible with our digestive system.
Thank you. Appreciate it. We got a few more people. Nana Akua, you want to unmute? Okay, let's go to Nataki. Nataki, question? Yep, okay.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, my name is Chef Ama. I'm very grateful that you're having this event. I think I met you about a year ago when you came to Ghana with Dr. Sharita, and I was able to translate from English to Tree for you.
Thank you.
And I just had a question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you're welcome. I just had a question that at my restaurant, we've started doing live food. We've added live food to the menu. And I wanted to ask, how do you introduce new people to raw food? Like, people really like the live food, but it's a, I want to know how you get new people to try live food.
Okay. Well, definitely the appeal, the look is very important. We don't want it to just look, like slut, We want it to really look inviting, attractive, because we first eat with our eyes, but also we want it to be that where they can associate it with something. So yeah, I would produce, something that you can associate with the look of a burger, with the look of a pizza, with the look of the things that they traditionally associate with, but not some, concoction that just doesn't have a character in itself that invites you. So that's a big deal. And then the next step is when it hits the palate, it needs to demand respect. So taste, high flavor, high energy. So there's a whole anatomy of achieving that, what they call that umami flavor, where we start looking at, the combination, say the basic, of the things that we know that the taste bud registers to. So today, if you look at practically all of the processed foods in your supermarket aisle, your natural food aisles, you're going to see the processed foods. Number one, the great majority of them, probably at least 90% of all of the processed foods are starches, complex carbohydrates, grains, beans, and roots, especially the deep roots, the low moisture one. and you look at the ingredients that complement these foods, sugar, fat, and salt, all three of them are laced with every single one of those foods, whether it's natural, it's this, it's vegan, or whatever, there is some form of salt, sugar, and fat together because that is the taste that they're hooked on. So you need to now command that respect of their taste bud by giving them that hint of those three things combined together. We're not hooked on just salt or just sugar or just fat. We're hooked on all three of them together. And that's why all the manufacturers put these two, three together in all those processed foods. So whether it's agave or, maple syrup or honey or, brown sugar or whatever, or the new sweeteners on the block, like the monk fruit, the mulberries or whatever, then we see what is really going on. So we want to come to that person, make the food look like something, that's inviting, something that they can associate with, and then make sure it has the taste. And it's not just simple, it's like, you're in Jamaica and you give a Jamaican some salt-free food. Well, their reaction is, Lord, the food fresh. So you need to, maybe a little salt, maybe throw some olives in there or some seaweed. But where they don't need to add salt, because some people today, they don't even check and taste the food. They just go immediately and pick up the salt shaker and add salt to it. So you want it to turn the corner just enough, and it's better to do that. And then if you're going to use salt, what I recommend is the Kala Namak from India, which this commercial name is black salt. But the color of it is not black, the color is pink. So it's like a clay from the Himalaya, and it has that smell of sulfur, like rotten eggs. But this taste, this is the salt that will leave the body. So you want to, and it has this pretty much, that razor blade sharp salt taste that salt eaters are eating salt for, So, but then the key is that salt will tend to leave the body. So this is the challenge with a lot of our traditional eaters coming into this type of cuisine, and the food is too clinical, too clean, too, healing. It's like, oh my God, this is rabbit food. And then also textures, especially with your hearty vegetables, your greens, coarse, tough greens, you want to tenderize them. You want to chop those greens, even lettuce, as fine as possible where it looks like it was shaven. But otherwise, most of us would take cook food mentality into developing the raw food, and we would cut, say, the peppers, like if we're going to stir fry it. And for someone who is not into this, that's a lot of chewing. And you'll hear the reaction like, oh, this is going to take some used to, getting used to. Because they're not used to chewing. All the mushy, soft potatoes and this and all of that they're eating today, chewing is like, it's not part of their repertoire. Because, ideally, every mouthful we chew, we put it into our mouth, we need to chew it 32 times. Food needs to be broken down as fine as possible. So the finer you can process these ingredients and infuse lots of herbs. I go with heavy overdose of fresh herb, but there's that line. You got to be careful, especially with things like tarragon and cilantro. Some of them are a little too overbearing, overwhelming. So you just need to know how to, do the vibration cooking, and know just how much to put so that the person doesn't get boom, this heavy flavor that turns them off. Because there's some herbs that You either love them or hate them. So you got to know how to be, a little more scientific about that. So this is kind of, the breakdown of the anatomy of how to always achieve that hit with your food, especially for folks who are not used to this, and really make it familiar, and that it's not a great leap. Or even with some things, you might want to steam them, lightly blanch them, and then add the raw ingredients to complement them, so that there is that balance. But to try to go cold turkey and hit them up, straight up raw, especially for healing, then it's not an inviting, experience.
And
Okay.
I wanted to ask
That's just one question, please, because we have about five more people I need to go to. And I appreciate you coming and asking that question. Thanks a lot. Okay. Now, everyone, this is our fourth show for Message to the Black Diaspora. And our third show was with Mama One Africa. And she's here now. I just want to acknowledge her and have her ask a question if she wants to. Mama One Africa, Mama Amicus,
Yes.
thanks for
Yes,
being
sir.
here. Appreciate
Oh,
you.
my pleasure. I thought I had missed y'all.
No, we're still here. We're still here. So, did you have a question for Dr. Iris?
I did. What is his recommendation in terms of foods to avoid if you're suffering with mucus?
Okay. Yeah, well, that is definitely one of our biggest challenges, if not the biggest challenge today. So first, let's identify what are the mucus-forming foods. Generally, they're foods that are not digested. And foods that are not digested, especially those that do not produce red blood cells, hemoglobin, they're going to produce white blood cells. And mucus is the manifestation of white blood cells. When the body produces white blood cells, it's like really unleashing the military for something that it didn't recognize as food. And most of the foods are going to fall under complex carbohydrate, complicated sugar, starches, the high mucus, high gluten forming foods, the grains, especially the larger grains, the wheat, the oats, and these types of things, and the heavy starchy root vegetables, especially in Africa, and the Caribbean, where the tropical yams are produced in big quantity. And we really eat a whole amount of those. So let's keep these foods down to the minimum. And again, let's eat them with as much vegetables, green leafy especially. And let's be careful how we process them. The worst way to get these foods into our body is by frying them, the French fries, the fried dumpling, the fried breadfruit, the fried yams and things of that nature. So let's be very careful, but it's very difficult to avoid greasing these foods because they're very hard to go down the digestive system. So some oil is usually preferable. So then, after the pot is ready, then add some olive oil that doesn't need to be cooked. Or again, that I would go to the coconut cream, because also in using something, say even like the coconut cream, what the body doesn't get to burn and turn into sugar, then we eliminate it pretty much the next day because the bowels are going to be loose. So that's generally one of the issues, is that there's some blockage, some constipation. So some herbs on a regular basis, and also fasting once a week, taking one day of the week, and just stop the digestive system. give it a break so that it can, regroup. So when I say fasting, we're talking about drinking liquids, fresh fruit juices, vegetable juices, and coconut water. And we recommend if you're doing that, it's a 36-hour fast. You don't break it in 24 hours. So not from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday, as we would do in some of our traditional spiritual fasting to meet the Sabbath requirements. Is that we would start the fast, yes, on sunset Friday, but don't break it till sunrise Sunday. Break it at the breakfast hour, because to break the fast at the end of a day sometimes will trigger overeating. So you break it Sunday morning. So it's a 36-hour fast. And this way you hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. You soak these cells up and then start breaking things down. And of course, we want to include as much as the hot foods. So the foods that are high in mustard oil, onion, garlic, chives, all of these types of stuff. And also, yes, hot pepper, heavy spice stuff, so that we can start breaking and burning these foods down. Ultimately, is to reduce them and avoid them as much as possible. But one rule of thumb is please do not mix them with the protein, the meat and potato, or the protein with the bread, that kind of stuff, whether it's plant or animal based. So we need to be more mindful, more conscious of this particular group of food, minimize them as much as possible. But if you do have an intense situation, I would try to avoid them 100%. And
But
start
did you,
clearing them out.
excuse me, but did you say oats was in that category?
The grains, the larger grains, oats, barley. So the finer grain is good. The millet, the amaranth, the teff, even the fonio would work, but include more vegetables. See, we eat a lot of oats, that granola, and the problem with oats, all the ones that we're eating, they're all cooked. So they're not breaking down. The rolled oats, the steel cuts oats, oatmeal, they all been cooked. They steam at the farm. And be careful with other grains that also been pre-cooked, parboiled, or even things like the tabbouleh, where they use the bulgur wheat. That's steamed at the farm. So most of these cooked grains, we're going to have a challenge digesting them effectively. And that's why the traditional tabbouleh dish is full of parsley. Full of tomatoes. There you got your 75% vegetables in there. So when you're going to do the grains and these starches, definitely complement them with three times the amount of vegetables to help in their digestion.
Medasi.
Okay. Thanks a lot,
Yes, you're
Mama Amicus. All right,
Thank you.
Z. Z, do you want to unmute and ask a question? No. I'm gonna move on. Christina, would you like to unmute?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Peace, everyone. Dr. Arise, I
Peace.
met you 2024 in July at your retreat in Panama. During that time, I was pregnant. And you gave me some guidance on pregnancy nutrition and a little bit of postpartum nutrition for myself and baby. Well, baby girl is 9 months now, and I have been going back and forth between eating raw foods and cooked foods. And I've been having a pretty much a challenge staying on fully raw. And I've been finding that I typically gravitate towards bananas, Cavendish bananas. I'm in the United States. I've been getting in green juices, carrot juice, and I just want to know any tips for me doing raw and it being more satiating or satisfying for me to stay on it, along with nutrition for baby girl, because she is probably like 98% breastfed, and I do give her like fruits. So if I'm having like apples or strawberries, she really likes peaches. And that's really what I give her. And I know that you said breastfeed at least until 2 years minimum. So we're on that path. But I just wanted to know any tips for postpartum nutrition.
Yes, well, with postpartum nutrition, with yourself, especially through breastfeeding, the three key groups that we're looking for is definitely your protein. You need to keep robust protein. The nut milks, seed milks are excellent. Even making the seed cheeses, the yogurt, the more pre-digested, processing of these particular foods, doing the nut spreads, the sauces, and things of that nature, so that you get that good adequate amount of protein and calcium, 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 calcium. So there's your green juices, especially, those greens, and of course the sesame seeds, one of the perfect forms of calcium, the sunflower seeds as well, and iron, which again, pretty much the same routine. More greens, pumpkin seed, sunflower seeds, and things of that nature. Small amounts of beet juice on a regular basis, mixing with your vegetable juices, because you need to not trigger much, any kind of cleansing within yourself. And also the avoiding harsh, irritating foods to the baby's system, the heavy, spicy stuff and the lots of raw onion and garlic and things like that, could be very irritating
What
to
about
the
dandelion in the green juice, like dandelion cilantro? I add that
baby.
sometimes. Is that okay?
Excellent. No, that is perfect. That is perfect in the green juice. Your culinary herbs, they're very overlooked in terms of their healing and medicinal value. So let's look up and you get the herbs in our food that complement whatever conditions or situations that we have that we know we need to be more mindful of, and using those culinary herbs liberally, in the food. And even doing what I find, especially say with your situation, is to do a lot of vegetable juice and season them up. Seasoning them up with heavy herbs and, again, some like turnips and radish and things of that nature. But also, I would serve them like as a broth. Just warm it up. Press the juice out, or it could be a rich, thick, blend, almost like a vegetable smoothie. But raise the temperature a little bit, raise the temperature a little bit by just serving it warm. You could just put that in a double boiler and you're going to see it penetrates. And also, it would create easier absorption, especially, to keep you more focused on raw and not go too far with the complex carbohydrates in any cooked form, but just enough. And the light complex carbohydrates, like the pumpkin and all the winter squashes, are perfect light carbohydrates. And it's like with the yellowfin potatoes and the purple potatoes and these types of things, and even the sweet potato, but cook them just enough, but complement them. And then also you might want to whatever fresh peas you can get before they've been dried out. If you live in there, a farmer who grows black-eyed peas, get them fresh. Big difference. Just apply that conscious cookery technique to them. Just light steam them, and it's going to be a whole nother level of creating that balance, especially for that, percentage of cooked food that the body seems to still appreciate.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Jordan Hunter, do you have a question? You want to unmute? Okay, I'm gonna move on to Tendai. Tendai, do you have a question? Okay, I guess. Oh, yes.
No, not right now. Just want to say blessings to Iris.
Thank you. Much love to you. Yes, thank you.
Okay. Haven't
Thank
seen
you.
you since Jamaica, my brother.
Oh my goodness, it's been too many moons now. Yes, looking forward to connecting with you soon.
Give thanks. Give thanks.
Bless you.
All right, thanks for attending. Okay, we're going to go back to Dr. Sharita, and then we're going to close out Dr. Iris. Dr. Sharita, would you like to unmute?
Greetings, greetings everybody. Peace and love. I am so happy that a lot of people, a lot of my folks came on. Thank you guys for attending. We have a lot of people that network a lot in the wellness industry. We have Kola, who's one of our the president of the Vegetarians Association of Ghana. And you know, so many people that's here doing the work in reference to wellness, and Doc is coming right on time, because we need his message and his way of eating, which a lot of our healers have come to, his own colleagues have come to realize that that's the way to go when it comes down to diet. That's the best way to heal, best way to reverse disease, best way to prevent disease. And he's coming with the right message on time. You know, we're going into 2026, and it's going to be a big year for a lot of us. Me personally, it's going to be 50 years for our business, New Body Products. It's going to be 50, 20 years for me here in Ghana. So I got a big celebration. But it's also a time when we have to also be more focused and serious about our health, because we think COVID was something. Trust me.
We're not able to hear you, Dr. Sharita.
They're not finished with us. They're not finished with us. There's going to be some stronger waves of some things coming, and the only defense we have is to eat properly, think properly, and raise our vibration. I know, the internet is not the best over here. Where I'm at, and it's raining, so forgive me if you can't hear everything that I'm saying, but I'm so grateful that Doc was able to come on and share all this time, almost 3 hours, and we know his information. You actually have to 8 hours a day to get. We really appreciate him coming on, and looking forward to him coming back. And next time, maybe we'll be doing it from Ghana. Next time, we'll be having you on online from Ghana, and that'll really help a lot of us, to encourage us to come, you know, home to the motherland, to be a part of this movement in the center of the world. Ghana is in the center of the world, for you, for those of you who didn't know it. And it's better to have everything. We're gonna detox the core of our planet and make sure that this is a space that people can come to for wellness. They know that there's several countries that people go to for wellness and for healing. We want Ghana to be that spot as well, where we have so many healers here that are stepping up to the plate, new people coming on and ready to help us with this work. And Ghana is the spot. Ghana is the place. And we're just really grateful that we're going to be able to have one of our greats here in Ghana. So thank you so much, Doc, for coming on. You know, you got a special place in my heart always. And you know, we're definitely going to support all of us here in one way or the other. We're going to support, you know, your journey back to the motherland, and support the movement, and you know, stand behind you as you come to bring the message, not just to Ghana, but to all of Africa. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Sharita. And I'm going to be in touch with you personally because I would like for us to schedule a course in November, the last week of November. So all of everyone here, would like to let you be the first to know that we're going to put together a food certification course the last week of November, the 24th to the 1st of December. So that, in Ghana, and this is going to be our homecoming package for the community so that we can really get ready to get dirty in December and get clean in January. Okay. So we want to really make sure that this family here network that I'm connected to now in the community education network, that we continue, that this is not the last time, that we do something together on this level. And I'll be consulting with the organizers here to see how we can definitely make it, as affordable and as accessible as possible. So this is a regular continuation of the seeds that have been planted here today. So thanks, everyone, very dearly for this connection. The best way to reach me is definitely just drop me an email to sunfired@sunfired.com, and we would respond to all messages. And also, you can drop a message to the link in the bio where we have our sister Kefilwe in South Africa, who is spearheading my whole move to Africa as well. And she is in the book pit with me as well. So looking forward, family. Thanks for this great opportunity. And we've only just begun.
We appreciate you and all the great work you do. And I want to thank everyone for showing up and blessing us with your presence and your questions. And I'm elated. Dr. Sharita, thank you for all your hard work. And we're going to keep doing what we're doing. And then when we can't do it, somebody else will pick it up from us. So everybody take great care until we see each other again. Conscious Corner, as we say, and each one teach one. Everybody continue to have a great day. Thank you.